Dr. William Luther Pierce on the Destructive Media, 1996.
Hello. One of the subjects we've spoken about a number of times on this program is the Jewish control of the news and entertainment media and the enormous damage this control is doing to America and to our people. We talk about this so much because there's hardly anything in the world more important, hardly anything which demands our attention more urgently. The evidence of the damage being done is quite obvious, but somehow many people manage to not notice that evidence. I had a newspaper reporter in my office a few days ago, and he asked me, "Why do you object to the Jews controlling the media? Aren't they running things about the same way anyone else would?" I told him, "No, they're running things to fit their Jewish agenda, and that agenda is not good for us." Then he asked me for specific examples. What are the Jews doing with their control of the media that's harmful to us? Now, I really don't believe that the reporter wanted an answer to that question, because this was a man who knew which side his bread was buttered on. He couldn't afford to be thinking bad thoughts about the people on whom his career depended. But I gave him an answer anyway. I gave him some specific, concrete examples of the way in which the Jewish control of our news and entertainment media was damaging us as a people. Perhaps you'll be interested in hearing some of those examples too, and so I'll share them with you. The first example I gave the reporter involved the largest media conglomerate in America, the Walt Disney Company. I reminded the reporter that Walt Disney, who was a Gentile, who was one of us, had been a pioneer in the motion picture industry. He was one of the men who built Hollywood. He built it by giving us films like Snow White and Fantasia and Cinderella. These were not just healthy, wholesome films. They were films which struck a deeply responsive chord in us because Walt Disney shared our roots. While Disney was winning a place in the hearts of people of European descent all over the world, the rest of Hollywood was being taken over by Jews. By the late 1920s, it was apparent that not only was there money to be made in motion pictures, but motion pictures could become a very influential medium, and so Jews began taking over. By the time Disney died, he was about the only major non-Jewish filmmaker left in Hollywood. After his death, Jews took control of the Disney Company, and today it is controlled by Michael Eisner. Eisner immediately began making propaganda films designed to encourage degeneracy in viewers. I gave to the reporter as an example of Eisner's films one that came out a couple of years ago and received all sorts of acclaim and awards from Jewish reviewers in the New York Times and other Jewish newspapers. It was The Crying Game, which was made by the Miramax division of Disney, a division headed by the Weinstein brothers. The Crying Game was a film about homosexuality and transvestism and interracial sex. The message of the film was that these things are all right, that homosexuals and transvestites are people just like us, and that we should love them, and that it's all right for us to share their lifestyle. Racial and sexual roles deliberately were made ambiguous in the film. A British soldier who just happens to be a Negro, an Irishman's mulatto girlfriend who just happens to be a man wearing a dress. I doubt that I've ever seen a film with a sicker, more destructive message. And this film was held up by the Jewish media as wonderfully sensitive, as wonderfully artistic. Nor was The Crying Game any sort of fluke or exception to the rule. Mr. Eisner has produced many other films with a similarly destructive message. I also gave the reporter to whom I was speaking examples about the destructive way in which the Jews use their control of the news media. Do you remember the enormous hullabaloo in the news media a few months ago when two white soldiers at Fort Bragg in North Carolina got drunk and shot a convicted black crack dealer and his female companion? It was on the television news and in the big newspapers day after day after day. "Racism in the army," the headlines were screaming. News commentators wrung their hands and agonized over white supremacy at Fort Bragg. "What can we do about white supremacy in the military?" they moaned. And of course, the politicians, who certainly know which side their bread is buttered on, had to get into the act. The White House issued statements. The Secretary of the Army announced that an investigation would be launched to find out about white racists in the Army and then to boot them out when it found them. We were treated to careful television interviews with the relatives of the slain black crack dealer. We're still hearing about the killing of this convicted black criminal by two drunken white soldiers as Jewish groups continue to use it as an example in their media campaign for new laws against what they call hate crimes and hate speech. Just 2 weeks ago, there was yet another big article about it headed "Extremism in the Ranks" in Newsweek magazine, which is owned by the Jewish Washington Post. Everybody has heard about the shooting at Fort Bragg. Now I'll tell you about a shooting you haven't heard about, unless you happen to live in the immediate vicinity of Camp Pendleton, the big Marine base in Southern California. Last month, on March 5th, a 28-year-old Marine sergeant who was stationed at Camp Pendleton hid a .45 caliber pistol under his jacket, walked into the office of the executive officer of his unit, Lieutenant Colonel Daniel Kidd, and shot Kidd twice in the back, killing him. He then turned his pistol on the commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Thomas Hefner, and shot Hefner in the chest, critically wounding him. Both Lieutenant Colonel Kidd and Lieutenant Colonel Hefner are white. The murderer, Sergeant Jesse Quintanilla, is a dark-skinned Pacific Islander from Guam. When Quintanilla ran out of the office after shooting the two white officers, he shouted that he had done it, quote, "for the brown side," unquote, and that the killings of whites would continue until all non-whites are released from prison. Amazingly, not even the San Diego area newspapers, which could hardly avoid at least reporting the bare facts of the shooting, suggested that race was a motive or that the killing of Lieutenant Colonel Kidd was a hate crime. They ignored the race factor. The national media, so far as I'm aware, have scrupulously avoided the whole story. No statements from the White House, no call for investigations of brown racism in the Marines, no headlines anywhere about extremism, no calls from Jewish organizations for new laws to control haters in the military. Now, what is the difference between the shootings at Fort Bragg and the shootings at Camp Pendleton, which could have justified the glaring difference in the way they were treated by the controlled news media? Was it that the Fort Bragg shootings were a more serious crime than the Camp Pendleton shootings? Was the killing of a convicted black drug dealer by two drunken white soldiers more newsworthy than the cold-blooded murder of a white Marine Corps officer with an outstanding service record by a non-white sergeant with a hatred of white people? Was the Fort Bragg shooting more cause for concern on the part of ordinary Americans than the Camp Pendleton shooting? I don't think so. Let me suggest that the difference in the way the shootings were treated by the news media stems from the fact that the Jewish bosses of the media have an agenda of their own, and they slant the news accordingly. They make the news fit their agenda. The Jews who control the news media have a program to sensitize white Americans about racial matters. And by that, I mean that they want to instill in white Americans a sense of white racial guilt, to make white Americans feel that any sense of white racial solidarity is reprehensible, to persuade them that any white resistance to demands by non-whites is racist and therefore wicked. And so they deliberately, I say deliberately, knowingly, calculatingly, create the impression with their biased and selective reporting of the news that white attacks on non-whites are a far bigger problem than non-white attacks on whites, whereas exactly the opposite is true. The shooting at Fort Bragg suited the Jews' purpose, and so they gave it enormous publicity and drummed it into everyone's consciousness. The shooting at Camp Pendleton didn't suit their purpose, and so they gave it minimal coverage in the news media they control. That's the sort of thing I have in mind when I say that the Jewish control of the media is doing enormous damage to our people. It's giving the average American a grossly distorted view of the world. I'll give you another example, one which most of us probably have heard at least something about. In Chicago earlier this year, a white mother and her two young children were murdered by blacks in an especially horrible manner. The white woman was slashed open with a butcher knife, and an unborn infant was ripped from her womb by blacks who wanted the baby. The woman's children, a 10-year-old daughter and an 8-year-old son, were stabbed to death. These were racial killings, but because the victims were white and the murderers were black, most of the media would have preferred to ignore them. The unusually atrocious nature of the crime caught the attention of the tabloids, however, and so the rest of the news media were obliged to give it minimal and grudging coverage. But there were no demands from Jewish organizations like the Anti-Defamation League and the Southern Poverty Law Center for new hate crime laws because of these hate-inspired murders. There were no hand-wringing editorials about the murders in the New York Times or the Washington Post. The television networks wasted no tears on the victims. The whole attitude of the media was, the less said about these murders, the better. Can you imagine how different the treatment by the media would have been if the races of the victims and the murderers had been interchanged? Imagine that a gang of neo-Nazi skinheads had grabbed a pregnant black woman and her two black children, had stabbed the black children to death, and then killed the black woman by ripping her open with a knife and tearing her unborn child from her body and running off with it. That would have been on the front page and the editorial page of the New York Times, the Washington Post, and every other Jewish newspaper in the country for weeks. Tom Brokaw and Dan Rather would still be telling us about it every evening. Every television screen in the country would still be full of politicians, priests, and rabbis telling us what we must do to eliminate white racism. They would be telling us what kind of racist books and racist radio programs and racist music the skinheads were exposed to, which led them to kill the black family. And of course, spokesmen for the Southern Poverty Law Center and the Anti-Defamation League would be given non-stop media coverage as they clamored for laws to make politically incorrect speech illegal. You know that's the way it would be handled. And that sort of slanted news is damaging because tens of millions of white Americans actually believe what they see on television and read in the newspapers. They cannot distinguish between the real world and the slanted world portrayed by the media masters. They assume that real people behave the way the actors in Mr. Eisner's The Crying Game behaved. Moreover, they assume that's approved behavior. They assume that the news stories selected for the evening television news programs are truly representative of what is happening in the world. Their opinions and attitudes are shaped by the slanted world of the media rather than by the real world. In the long run, this Jewish media control is not just damaging, it is lethal. It will destroy us. And that, of course, is just what it is intended to do. Here's another specific example of the way in which the Jewish control of our media is used to damage us as a people. Do you remember the Republic of South Africa? Do you remember what the media did to that country? Let me remind you. For years, the mass media in America maintained a solid wall of hostility against South Africa. The whites there were unspeakably wicked, according to the media, because they practiced a system they called apartheid, which simply means apartness or separateness of the races. Now, it's true that we always have had a busybody element among our own people, egalitarians and other foolish or malicious types, who always are looking for an opportunity to force others to conform to their ideas. But without the support of the Jewish media, the busybody element would not have been able to do much damage. It was the controlled media which made apartheid a dirty word. It was the controlled media which made the attitude towards South Africa a major political issue in this country. It was the controlled media which made a government-enforced boycott of trade with South Africa politically popular. It was the controlled media which viciously attacked anyone who had a good word to say about South Africa. It was the controlled media over here which provided a forum for the handful of South African traitors and terrorists who were trying to destabilize their own society. And ultimately, it was the controlled media which destroyed South Africa. As the economic damage to South Africa from the trade boycott mounted, white South Africans found themselves under increasing pressure. Furthermore, they were being subjected to the same anti-white hate propaganda that we were. The films they saw, the television programs they watched in South Africa, came from Hollywood and New York. And eventually, the South Africans became so demoralized that they foolishly turned their country over to black rule, hoping that somehow that would make the world love them and their economy would improve. What actually has happened, of course, is that crime and mismanagement have skyrocketed and standards have fallen. And now the white South Africans who are able to go someplace else are leaving. What has happened to every other country in sub-Saharan Africa after the whites turned the government over to the blacks is now happening to South Africa. It is slipping back toward the jungle. And the controlled media in America played the largest single role in bringing this result about. And this result was deliberate. It was calculated. It was planned. It was not because of any fuzzy-minded do-gooder sentiment on the part of the media bosses. They knew exactly what they were doing. It was cold-blooded. Compare this media concern with equality for blacks in South Africa with the attitude of the media toward the behavior of the Jewish government in Israel. That government practices what is known as collective punishment. If a Palestinian is suspected of being a freedom fighter, suspected, not convicted, the Jewish government punishes his whole family. His wife, his parents, his children will be arrested and tortured. The house they live in will be blown up. Have you ever heard the controlled media criticize this sort of behavior? Patriots have various concerns, various priorities. Some of them believe that we should concern ourselves first and foremost with the way the U.S. government handles its finances, with ruinous taxation and scandalous welfare programs. Some of them believe that our out-of-control immigration situation is our most pressing problem. Others are concerned primarily with the government's failure to deal effectively with street crime. And some have focused on the breakdown of our educational system under the impact of forced equality or on the decay of our morals. But I tell you that we can solve none of these problems until we regain control of our news and entertainment media. So long as the Jews control our mass media, they will control our politicians. And so long as they control our politicians, they will control the policies of the government. We will not be able to shut down the welfare system, or control our borders, or make our cities safe, or restore our standards and values, so long as the controlled mass media are able to make a majority of our people feel guilty for wanting to do these things. So long as the media are able to make people believe that keeping Mexicans and Haitians out of the country or shutting off the flow of welfare is racist, and that racism is the worst of all sins. So long as the Jews control our mass media, they will be able to keep enough of our people confused and misled and divided so that we cannot regain control of our government by peaceful, democratic means. If we are to regain control of our destiny and survive as a people, then we have only two choices before us. Violent revolution to take the control of the mass media back by force, or gentle but effective persuasion to lead more and more of our people from confusion into understanding. I personally believe that violent revolution is not feasible at this time. And as long as the course of gentle persuasion remains open to us, that is the course we must choose. I believe that the only proper thing for us to do now is to continue building our own media and making them more effective.